This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
A Flex Friday broadcast at the American Heritage Museum. Monday is Veterans Day. Tomorrow is our third annual Lunch with a Hero, and we will be at the American Heritage Museum tomorrow morning, all morning long. I hope you'll come with us. I got somebody DM'd me earlier and said they went and looked at the website, and the museum doesn't open till 10. They are opening for us. It is over 60,000 square feet of military artifacts and exhibits. I think you will love the place. I know you will love the opportunity to meet and shake the hand of the men and women who have served this country, who will be with us, including Joe Landry, who we met last year at Lunch with a Hero, and he just celebrated his 100th birthday, a member of the greatest generation. Joe will be with us. We'll have a birthday cake and cannot wait to see you. And breakfast free for the first 100 of you who are with us tomorrow as we get ready for Veterans Day weekend. But right now, Mike Milbury on a Bruins Thursday, brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh by findmassmoney.gov, by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow, and by Timeout Market. Timeout Market Boston showcases the best of the city under one roof. Hello, Mike.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Good. I'm doing very well. It was an interesting week, and I think I've come to the conclusion that pantsuits don't win elections. First Hillary, and now Kamala, and pantsuits just don't go over well. And neither do the cool kids. Michelle Obama saying if black men don't vote for us, don't vote for Harris, they don't vote for us. And Oprah claiming this could be the last election. Uh-huh. Get back to your Hollywood mansions. Get away from me. I don't need to hear that stuff. And on the other side, I mean, when Hulk Hogan comes and says that he's voting for Trump, is that really going to sway my opinion? The Hulk.
Not a big
Please.
Hulk guy. No.
I'm a big Hulk guy, but I'm a big Hulk guy when he's in the ring. Not on the phone asking for my vote.
Well, listen, it seems like every week we talk to you and this Bruins team is struggling. They have been shut out in two of their last three losses. From your perspective, what is the issue with this team?
I'm not ready yet. Did you know that yesterday Elon Musk made $20 billion in the stock market?
Wow.
$20 billion.
That's a lot of money.
That's
mean, it was
crazy.
The market was up 1,200 or 1,500 points that got closed, the Dow Jones anyway. And so,
maybe he can pay for a power play for the Bruins.
In one day, Elon got enough money to buy all four major teams in Boston. Not bad.
Anyway, they're clearly, you know, they beat a couple of also-ran teams. I mean, you're not going to get too excited about them beating the Kraken. And they go to Toronto, where they usually have some pretty good luck, and it's just not clicking. I mean, they were even without Austin Matthews, their best player, and the Bruins just don't have it right. I mean, the power play has been stagnant all year, and who's on the power play? It's your best players, right? So you have to point the finger at the best players on the team underperforming. And the other side of the special teams equation is the penalty killing, which has usually been a real strong point for them. But Toronto had three power play goals, and they had seven or eight chances on the power play. Way too many undisciplined penalties by the Bruins yet again this week. And so they find themselves back into a funk. They just don't seem to be able to get out of it in any any particular segment of their game. It just keeps falling back into the abyss.
When it comes to coaching, is this looking to you like another situation where they are tuning their coach out, where he's not getting through to them?
Isn't it a little early for that? I mean, I don't like the fact that he's changed his approach now. He's being a little harder. He's been tougher. Maybe he didn't have to before. But, you know, when you get used to, and there's a lot of guys that have been around since he first got there, we're used to a certain kind of coaching, and now he's trying to use instead of a soft hand, he's using the whip a bit more, and I don't know that they like it. But, listen, they deserve to be whipped a little bit the way they've played. I mean, this Zadorov, the steady stream to the penalty box after they give this guy a humongous contract. Come on, wake up, buddy. Wake up. The regular season's starting to fly by now. And, you know, the statistics are if you're not in it and by Thanksgiving, if you're not in the playoff spot, you're unlikely to be in it in April.
Mike, one of the things that we talk about with Gerard Mayo every Monday is penalties and how it's, you know, coaching has to be better or playing pre-snap. And I know it's different in hockey, but you just brought this up, and I want to ask you this because you've been there before. How much does like penalties fall on coaching in the NHL versus players in the NHL?
You know, ultimately, it's on the player. He's the one that's on the ice. The coach is not on the ice. The coach is going to advise. But eventually, when a guy continues to repeat a mistake, take a penalty, you know, whether it's a hooking call or a slashing call. I mean, the retaliation calls are the worst. Those are the ones that deserve immediate attention and reprimand, if not a seat on the bench. But the other reaching in, and there's a lot of that going on, a lot of hooking and holding because they don't get there fast enough and they don't anticipate enough, and that's probably on the players. And the problem here, I think, is, you know, there are a lot of players playing out of their position, and there are a lot of players on this team that probably don't deserve to be a regular in the lineup.
Mm. When it comes to players, did you like the decision to sit David Pastrnak in that third period, and how'd you feel about his reaction to it?
You play with fire when you go down the end of the bench and whack Marchand, or you play with fire when you bench Pastrnak. Listen, I'm tired of Pastrnak's giveaways. I mean, he's a giveaway machine. Like, come on, you've been in the league long enough now to know that when you get to the playoffs, you give the puck away, and you're in the offensive zone, and you're trying to make some miraculous play happen, try to pull a rabbit out of the hat, and it turns over and goes the other way. You're giving your team, you know, a death wish. I mean, there's got to be a time when he's got to learn that he's got to stop it. You give great players leeway to make dangerous plays because they sometimes complete them. But sometimes, and in certain situations, there's a time to put your creativity in your pocket and sacrifice it for the greater good of the team and protect the puck. That lesson needs to be learned by Pastrnak.
Mike, what's confusing to me is Montgomery, after Tuesday's loss, said the offensively they're starting to build. And I don't know how getting shut out over and over again, you can say that about this team. Am I missing something? I'm not the hockey guy, but to me, the offense seems to be lackluster.
It is. It's not great at all. There's no consistency to it, and there's been a steady shuffling of the line so that they don't get familiar with one another for the most part. It looks like he settled on Marchand and Lindholm and Pastrnak, at least for now, but I haven't seen any overwhelming forechecking presence from the Bruins at any point during the season, and I haven't seen that puck possession game. So they're struggling to find an identity, and I hate to say it already so early in, but I'm a little worried about the personnel choices that were made and whether they have the stuff to get out of this.
At this juncture, Mike, how do you view the Don Sweeney, Neely tenure in charge of this organization?
Well, it's a tough league to win in, Curtis. And they've been consistently at the top and competing. And we all know we want championships, but there are 32 teams out there. And, you know, the law of averages say you should win once every 32 years. I mean, that's not the reality because teams don't spend to the cap in some cases, and some teams will do it every year. But I think the Bruins have made an honest effort to be competitive and have been competitive every year. Would they have liked to win another championship or two? Would they take that seventh game back from St. Louis and mistakes that were made there? Well, it's tough to win it, but they have been competitive, and if you can live with that, you can certainly live with their performance. And I think most teams would be happy to have the kind of performance that these guys have put forth. But, you know, this version looks like it needs some repair.
If both are fired, let's just play this out. We don't know what's going to happen. But if Don Sweeney and Monty are both open for the rest of the NHL, who gets hired first for another team?
Well, I mean, I think Don Sweeney, you know, has earned his stripes as the general manager. I think he'll get hired quickly. And I think Montgomery, yeah, I mean, I think he's resurrected his career in a fairly significant way. But, you know, when you get fired, there's a sting to it, and there's a stink to it, and people get a little bit more cautious. But I'd say both of them would get hired right away. But I don't think it's the time for that right now in either case. I think it deserves a little more time. But you focus on everything when you're struggling. But right now, I think the biggest concern is the players that they've assigned to this roster and don't have the depth. They don't have a second line right now. They don't even have a first line. They have a good second line, but not a top first line. And there's just not enough there for me to say, hey, they're really underachieving.
So if you were Don Sweeney, Jim Montgomery is coaching out his deal here. And you said a little while ago that if you're not a playoff team by Thanksgiving, then you're most likely not a playoff team. Would you be working on a new deal with him now?
It's a little.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Given his regular season success and the fact that they lost to Florida, you know, the team that was obviously a champion or a runner-up 2 years ago, I mean, I would have thought maybe there would have been a discussion about a new contract, but I guess there's some cause for concern, or was, going into the final year of his contract. I can't, most coaches who've had success get the courtesy of an extension going into their last year, and you can't argue with his regular season success, but you would have to think that Don Sweeney has maybe some issues with what's happened in the postseason, or some other issues that has bothered him, because it's an odd situation for Montgomery to be entering this time in limbo. But at this point, if I'm the general manager, I'm, given what I've seen on the ice, I'm not in a rush to re-up him.
Mike, you talked about the power play. Greg and I were at the game a couple weeks ago, and one thing that we kind of noticed with their power play, they struggled when it came to controlling and possessing the puck into the offensive zone. It was almost like a dump and chase. What do you think they should do differently, and how much, I guess, can you do differently in hockey as far as like different power play schemes or systems or things along those lines?
Well, the first thing that needs to be addressed is the entry into the offensive zone. You just mentioned it. There are a number of formations that you can establish, a number of options that should be on the table for the team, and that you should see them and practice almost every day because it's so important. The power play is so important. So the first thing is get the puck with possession in the offensive zone. You've got one more guy than them, and you should never be outmanned around a loose puck in the offensive zone. You should. Oh, you've got an extra guy. Get him in there. And then there are schemes and plays that you can make off a power play, but most of the time the power play relies on skill, on puck movement and creativity. So it's not static. It's not, the guys at the point like McAvoy and Lindholm have to be laterally moving to change the angle of a guy trying to block your shot. The guys near the front of the net have to be in position to screen the goaltender, not just stand off to the side of the net and wave your stick at it in hopes of tipping it. You want to screen the goaltender, and if you can get a stick on and tip it, all the better, but the first things are first, and you got to get in his eyes. So there's a lot that's not going on for them, but usually when I mean, try to get to the things that you can control as a coach, and one of them is entry options, and then try to produce some common themes for the guys. Like, you know, I just mentioned lateral movement at the point, which causes everybody else to move. You know, if you get stagnant, you're in trouble. And McAvoy and Lindholm can do that, and they can do it more often, and they've got to shoot the puck more often. There's enough going on there to, you know, spend another hour on, but I'm just worried that, you know, their best players go on the power play, and they're underachieving right now. And the second unit is not, there's not enough firepower there for me to get too anxious about.
Well, the turnaround can begin this evening, and they can do it at the Garden. So, Mike Milbury, thank you, and we will talk to you again next week.
Was this depressing for everybody here today, or what?
The whole thing is kind of depressing.
It is. But you know what? It's a funny game, and maybe there's a spark there. Maybe a trade needs to take place and get everybody jazzed up, and we'll see what happens. But right now, there's the optimism is very cautious.
Yeah, I mean, I like your original suggestion, which apparently was Elon Musk is buying the Bruins from the Jacobs family. So I'm in on that.
Push over, Jim Montgomery. I'm interested in a slice of the pie. $20 billion.
As soon as Vice President Musk fixes everything wrong in Washington D.C., then he can buy the Bruins. All right, Mike Milbury, thank you.
Bye.
All right. Here is Courtney and what is trending right this moment.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the 99. The Celtics fall to the Warriors at home 118-112, the final from the TD Garden. Jason Tatum led the way with 32 points, while Derek White had a good game with 26 points in the loss. The Bruins welcome the Flames to the TD Garden tonight. Puck drop is at 7. And Thursday Night Football, the Bengals are at the Ravens. Game time at 8:15. You can listen to that right here on EEI.
Have you built your parlay yet, Courtney?
I have not yet. Maybe you and I, after the show, can walk it through together.
How many legs in this baby are we guessing?
I like going for like a sixer.
All right. Okay. That's a good one.
Right. Yeah. Arachnid.
Yeah. Six, I think I feel
that's
comfortable
a good one.
With.
I told you to jump
arachnid.
On.
Arachnid.
Don't arachnids have six legs?
I don't know.
I think you are correct about that. But then what is the eight-legged spider?
An octopus.
Well, no, the spider. Because you're going to. Isn't an arachnid.
Well, a spider is an arachnid, isn't
right.
it?
Right. But I think, can a spider not have more than six legs? I don't know.
Because scorpions, I think, are technically arachnids, and they have six legs.
I see.
So what makes spiders have... Well, I Googled this. Do spiders have eight legs or six? The answer, according to marine biology something. So what made spiders settle for eight legs? I think the best answer and simplest one is that spiders have eight legs because their parents did. So eight legs, not six.
Okay. The more you know.
Interesting.
All right. I told you to jump on that FanDuel first 3 minute score. It's a good one, man.
Yeah, I'm on one app. I don't think I need to add other apps.
And then another one says arachnids have four pairs of legs. So that's four times two. Do
eight.
The math.
There you go.
Eight.
All right. Cozy up to irresistible new fall flavors at the 99 restaurant, like the freshly baked homestyle chicken pot pie packed with chicken and topped with a buttery flaky crust, or the creamy short rib mac and cheese. You gotta love the nines. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
I would love for a stenographer to just note the non-sports debates we have on a given show. Just bizarre ways in which we devolve into nonsense. 64 degrees, partly cloudy. By the way, Courtney, great job on the trendings today. 4 for 4.
Thank you so much.
Afternoon high of 67.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.